Okay. Well, we want to thank Miriam for honoring us by coming to this meeting, and we invite her to share her experience, strength, and hope with us after she completes the step. We invite everyone who would like to share his comments about what he heard today. All right, Miriam, as you know, is most of you know from the announcement, is my wife, and God bless her for being there for me when I was going through, or as I still go through, this addiction, this disease. And she's going to be talking about, the title is, Am I Really Cheating on My Wife When I Watch Porn? Okay, so I'm going to introduce Miriam right now.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be back at the GYE and speak with the men and be of service. Every time I come and do this, it renews my trust and faith in God and in the program. As without this program, David Chaim and I would not be here.
David C.
And I would not be here. So I'd like to start before we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the porn addiction and so forth. I'd like to change the question. What's wrong with porn? My wife should know. My wife should know that I'm a man. Or how can my wife feel like I'm cheating on her? Or everyone watches porn. What should she care what I do? I'd like to explain to you something very basic about any addiction, and where is it that I'm becoming empowering myself from what is happening to me, that from there I will make healthier choices. So the addiction, everybody has, across the line, everybody has a time when they feel powerless. And with every situation, places, things, with every people, places, situation and things that we go through life, there's a time that we feel that we are powerless. And at that moment that we feel that powerlessness, many people chooses to try to solve it. But we as addicts, we solve it by running away. Why is that? Because we cannot deal with the feeling. We do not know how to deal with feelings because feelings for us are foreign. And as the programs tell us, when we grew up, we learned don't trust, don't talk, don't feel. So when we have situation in our life that we're feeling powerless, we do not want to feel the feeling, and we go to our drug of choice of shopping, eating chocolate. No, I'm kidding. Unfortunately, some of us goes to porn. Women goes to shopping, eating, chatting on the phone. And yes, some of what women do also go to porn and other very much, much destructive addiction. So what is happening here is that I'm stuck in the time of my life when I was a child, powerless. And I did not have choice because I looked up at the adult in my life to give me direction. And when they were not there for me, I felt powerless. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. So whatever I did in order for me to survive life, I did. So I was in a mode of survival since I was a child. But the program is telling us that when we are adult, we no longer need to live life in a by being on survival mode. It's an opportunity for us to thrive. So I'd like to change the question here and says, what is really my inner self think when I run to porn? And why? And I'm cheating on my inner self when I watch porn. What happened to me when I'm choosing to go to porn? How do I feel afterwards? So what it is it's really a vicious cycle of feeling hopeless. And even if I'm running away to the drug of choice of porn, I'm still hopeless, because afterwards, even if I had a wonderful feeling of release, afterwards I feel like, you know what? So it's a vicious cycle that I'm running after my tail and I'm still feeling shitty about myself. And what happened as a result of that all my relationship that I'm having, our relationship of me trying to justify my existence. I'm constantly feeling guilty. I'm constantly feeling that I need to protect myself, that I need to be at a point of attack. I'm constantly in a place of feeling shame, blame, and needing to control. And it is so heavy because I am in a powerlessness position and I don't know how to get out of it. So I'm falling into depression. And guess what? You know, when you're falling into depression, in Judaism, they says, but you can't. You have to be happy. And it's so wrong for you to feel depressed. So there's a story about the Katzke Reb, which is a very, very legendary rabbi named the Kotzk Rabbi. He's from a town in Kotzk in Poland. And somebody asked, you know, he was a very melancholy kind of guy. He actually closed up himself in a room for years and left his community and just sat in a room and studied and wrote books and books and books about Judaism. So they asked him one day, how do you feel about being so depressed? So he said, how I feel? I feel great. What do you mean you feel great? He says, because at that moment, I feel how nothing I am. At that moment, I feel how much I need my higher power to help me, because I'm in depression because I do not want to face my weakness. I don't want to admit that I'm weak. I don't want to see that I need God to help me. And at that moment, really, really, when I'm so depressed, it's when God is there to help me. And oh, it's sweet. And when I see what it is, what is that spiral that took me to that abyss, and God is there to help me, to pull me that up, that's when I feel his closeness. So everybody here, congratulations, because you're in this program because you're so, you know, in Yiddishkeit they say chalish, and you're so wanting. You're coveting something much bigger than the pleasure of the sex that you get. What you really, really deep, deep, deep you want is the closest feeling that you could feel with your creator through the feeling of depression that you feel, through the helplessness, the powerlessness that you feel over this addiction. This is deep. Think about it. From the point that you feel so helpless, you feel so bad about what happens to you, right there is God waiting for you to call him and you telling him, I need you, God. And he's there to help you. So with this, I want to go to your relationship with your wife. All these questions that have been brought up to me to deal with the wife and cheating, I'm really not cheating, if I'm watching porn, what's wrong if I'm watching porn, how is it that I'm really cheating on her because it's just everybody, every man does watch porn. All of these questions are the questions of a man in denial that is running, that is escaping from the feeling that he needs to feel and put a number, a name to it. And be with the feeling. And don't be scared to feel it. Because, you know, in program it says when somebody feels, he's actually on the bridge. The person who doesn't feel is the one that he's standing by the bridge and contemplating, I'm gonna go to watch porn or not. Am I gonna go act out or not? But the one who feels and says, I'm gonna take the courage to feel, he's the one who is on the bridge and he's gonna go on the other side, and you'll see that actually the feeling made him human. And that's what God wants. He does not want you to be all or nothing. He wants you to be in the process of feeling because he wants you to be human. He doesn't need angels. They have plenty up there. And he knows that you will fall. He knows you will fall. But he loves you even more when you get up. He loves you so much because he wants to see the human side of you. And the human side of you is that you accept yourself exactly for who you are, with the mistakes you made, because you are work in progress. So the denial here is only to take your journey longer with more and more frustration and more pain. The denial, these questions about, oh, it's just porn, oh, this, it takes you more and more away from the true you. The grace that your soul has, the creativity that God awaits from you to bring to this world, the true honest voice that is only unique to you to bring to this world. And God is waiting. And the evil inclination sees that you're getting into the bridge and you start feeling. And what does he do? He brings the lust even stronger on you. And you can do it. Because God knows it, that it's coming stronger. And God knows it. And he's giving you the strength to cross the bridge. Because you decide that the step two says, come to believe that a higher power can restore me to sanity. So every day he's giving you a chance to come to believe. Come to believe. Come to believe. And when you see that the day passed and you cross the bridge, you see that you can trust God to give you, that he gives you the strength to cross it. And it's not going to happen the first day and the second day when you come to believe. Because you will fail probably the first 3 days, week, and it's okay. But you're going to see by saying every day, Hashem, I'm turning my will and my life to you. And let me believe that you can restore me to sanity. And I can tell you numerous, numerous stories of what happened to me personally about things, situation that I was with people, with my children, with my family, with my mother in a nursing home, whatever it is that I felt like, oh, I'm so powerless. Hashem, how can you help me this? And when I said, okay, I need to fake it till I make it with trusting him, well, guess what? He came through for me. He came through for me and he helped me. So, all these questions are about denial? Yes. All these questions has a lot to do with the intimacy that I have between me and myself first. And I'd like you guys to write this down. You are not trash. God loves you. And this is not a slogan next to a church. God does not make trash. People make trash. Okay. You wake up in the morning, you raise your arm above your head and you says, Hashem, show me, God, show me the way that you want me to go to today. Show me the blessings that I need to bring for the day. I leave the house, I say, I'm Jewish faith, so I kiss the mezuzah and I says, Hashem, show me the blessing for the day. Second, the moment that you have a lowering thought, I'm to blame, I'm no good, I'm ashamed, I'm worthless. These are lies. Those are all imagination. It's an imagination because that moment is when you're doing really, really good. And you deserve to do very, very, very good. So try to find more and more opportunities to see how good you are. Third, you feel the lust coming up. It's the way that our body, our mind is telling us there's a feeling that I'm ignoring. Take the notebook. And you know, I have a notebook in my purse. I have a notebook on my desk. I have a notebook in my kitchen. I have a notebook in my carry-on. If I miss my purse, I have little tiny notebooks. In those notebooks, I write constantly, what do I feel? What do I think? What do I want? Those are three questions that are extremely important because I'm feeling now. Fourth, I'm no longer powerless. I'm not a child. I'm an adult and I have choices. What is my choice now? What's the healthiest choice I can make now? Those are the four actions I take daily. Now reminding myself that I'm no longer bounded by adults that are trying to tell me what to do, because now I'm an adult and I have choice to decide what I want to do and how I want to act. I'm not a child anymore. When I'm doing those four actions, I'm building a stronger and stronger intimacy within myself, that when I'm getting close, when I am in an intimate time with my husband, I am more authentic and real. And I'm accepting myself exactly for who I am, with my weaknesses and with my strengths. When I don't do that, I'm coming with a mask over my face when I'm coming closer to my husband in a relationship with him or anybody else. So I hope I answered these questions. And if you guys have, now the microphone is going to be open and David C. is going to open the microphone for any questions. I hope I helped you with the steps. You know, I'm a coach, a psychotherapist. If you have any questions now that you want to clarify about what I've just mentioned, I'm here to listen and I'll do my best to answer.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Miriam. Gave me a lot of inspiration as always. I'm blessed to be able to hear this often. It's a great message for us addicts. You can also send questions in the chat, as you'll see, and we'll be addressing those. Some of the questions I've seen so far is really, I'll call my wife Honey. What was it like for you to live with the porn addict? How did you survive this?
Okay, so first of all, I was angry for a long time. I made his life miserable. I felt like I needed to punish him. But then what it did, it brought me further and further away from the solution of what we can do with this. So I started going to meetings. And back then, 22 years ago, there was no meeting for co-sex addicts. So the only meetings were there were for Al-Anon. So I started going to Al-Anon, and then slowly started to be CODA. And CODA helped me tremendously. And then I also noticed that within my relationship, my husband and I were in a competition, who is smarter, who is brighter, who can bring more money. And I decided to let go of the competition and see my husband as a human being just as I am, and accept my weaknesses and not try to be goody two-shoes all the time. I also learned to accept him, because a lot of the things that I did not like about my husband, I saw it within myself. And it was a point of that I started to be very honest with myself and real. Third, I stopped being so much in compliance to give him everything he wants in the bedroom, because that erode my real personality and who I am. And I stopped being a pleaser. So I stopped pleasing him, and I started asking myself, why am I scared? And when I understood that I'm scared because I am constantly in a position of defending myself rather than be open to see what's going on over here, I was able to again put my trust in my higher power rather than in men and in people around me. That was the beginning. I hope I answered the question.
No, very good. Very good. All right. It's been debated whether or not porn is actually equivalent to cheating on a wife. You know, a man might say, I'm seeing this question, a man might say, well, I'm not cheating on my wife. I'm not with another woman. Why is pornography, is it equivalent to cheating? Can you answer that question, please?
Yes. So again, it's so painful for me to hear this question, because what it is that when you go look at porn, and I will be very honest with everybody. I'm a psychotherapist, and I'll give you the answers in a way about. I set a very strong boundary not to see clients beyond 9 o'clock in the evening. And why is that? Is because when I go to sleep at 11:30, sometime at 12, I am still talking in my head the therapy that was going on. And what happened, I'm taking the therapy and the people that I was talking to and helping, I'm taking them to my bed. And the bedroom is the most separate place that is dedicated just to me and my husband. And I don't want anybody to come there. I want that it will be clean from any arguments or conversations or people that took my attention and to bring them to the bedroom. Now that's just going to sleep. Could you imagine if it's a time for me to for me and my husband to have relations and I'm bringing the clients that I was helping to the bedroom and me thinking. Now so imagine that my husband, God forbid, he went to look at porn and those gorgeous women who are Photoshop or whatever. He had such a high to look at them, and I'm trying to be as close and as authentic as possible to be to my husband, and in his head he still got stuck with the pictures that he saw. So again, the question is that, are we spirit bounded in the body, or are we body confined in spirit? What are we? Are we spiritual or are we only body? So if we're spiritual, those pictures get stuck in our head and it affects our relationship. Okay, more questions?
It says here, let's see here. How can I help my wife be more understanding about this? I don't want her to accept every time that I fall, that I just want her, when I fall, how can I help her understand?
Okay, so first of all, don't make your wife your sponsor. It's none of her business about what's going on with your process of sobriety. I don't think it's fair to put her there to know that you fail. So you always feel like a loser. It's not her business. She needs to admire you. And she will admire you for the fact, the pure fact that you're working on yourself. That's one. Second is that to make your wife understand is first of all, you cannot make her understand anything. She needs to choose that she needs to understand. You cannot make her do anything. Your wife, if she wants to have a good relationship with you, you need to take the responsibility and go and to program, understand the lingo that you're learning in 12 steps, that you and her will be in the same page and you guys will speak the same language. As a matter of fact, David C. and I, we speak the 12-step language so often that people are looking at us, they think that we're talking a separate language than anybody else's. And that's the beauty of it. That's what brings us together.
Okay, next question from one of our in the audience. My wife thinks that I'm a great husband, and she thinks that we have a great relationship. Do I need to come clean with her?
Say that.
My wife thinks I'm a great husband and thinks that we have a great relationship. Do I need to come clean with her? In other words, do I need to confess and tell her all my dirty laundry?
No. And if you decide to do it, you need to do it supervised with a therapist or a coach or whoever. Do not do this alone. Mm-mm. No, I don't agree. Any other questions?
Okay.
Well, you can read some accolades. Why it's always questions?
Okay.
Yes, Blue.
Teacher, in order to jump in.
Is there a woman that wants
to... Blue?
Don't get speed.
Yep.
That was cute. That was okay.
That's not... Jerry.
Trade one.
There's a woman here who is on the conference call's name, Betrayed Wife. If I would love to get to know you with the question that you have, if you like. Would you like us to unmute you? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Anybody else wants to unmute that we can take your questions? Please let us know. Go ahead, Betrayed Wife, I'm listening.
I have no question. Thanks for sharing. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Anybody else?
Hi, Miriam. This is Yitzhak.
Hey. Hey, Yitzhak.
First of all, I would like to admire your point of it's only within the low that we can reach real light. And I really admire that thought. It sat well with me. And you speak a lot of sense. And I was able to comply with everything you said.
Wonderful.
So thanks for the share.
Thank you, Itzi. Anybody else?
It's Velvo. May I say, make a comment?
Please, Velvo. How can we miss out on your comment?
I didn't hear you.
How can we skip on your comments, Velvo?
With the question, Velvo, because we got a lot of questions today, sir.
Okay, whatever. It's okay. I'm not going to deal with the question. That's up to you. But I just want to say that was one, Miriam, that was one of the most cogent, meaningful, spiritual, and helpful talks that I have ever heard from an Essanon. And it shows that you're a true messenger of God. And you know, I think you deserve the Nobel Peace Prize. I really got so much in the short time, like 20 minutes or whatever it was. I got so much, and I'm a person that has been around the block. I've been in the program. I've been to about 50 conferences. It was really wonderful what you said, and I'm sure you touched many, many people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Belville. I appreciate
He's Belville's the president of our PR club, okay?
No, I really mean every word I said.
Thank you. We get a question. How can I reassure my wife? I don't really want her asking about when I fall, but she does.
So, we as addicts and co-addicts, we live in a life of all over the place. We love chaos. And the most important action that we need to learn is to set boundaries. And you see, a lot of addicts, they need from the outside to feel that they're good inside, which means for other people to tell me how great I am, for other people to tell me that I'm wonderful, and to give me reassurance. And the work that we as addicts need to work on is to find calm and peace inside, and not to look for my wife or for my husband to tell me that I'm wonderful. So your boundaries need to be checked if your wife feels that she needs to ask you all the time, you fail, are you clean, are you clean, are you not clean? Check your boundaries, because you obviously don't have them strong enough to say, ad po, up to here, you cannot ask these questions. And she probably will be upset, but
How do I get her to
declare versus complain. And declare is, I know you care when you ask me this question. Please don't do that, because it will hurt if something happened. So it's better not to go there, because it will shake our marriage if something does happen.
Okay, Miriam, following up to that, someone asks, my wife doesn't understand the porn or sex addiction struggle I'm going through. How do I get her to participate in a 12-step program?
By being an example of how great of a man you become going to 12-step program. It's attraction, not promotion.
Okay, can you talk about how your husband can detach in a healthy way from our, how we husbands can detach in a healthy way from our wives when she is triggered?
Yes, I see that you're going through a hard time right now. I love you very much. And I'm gonna leave now, because I think that you need some space from me. That's what you need to tell her. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I need to give you some space.
Okay, here's a biggie. Thank you. I mean, every one of these, I need to thank my wife. She's amazing.
Okay.
How did you feel that, I'm setting her up because this one's gonna be painful for me too. How did you feel when you first discovered about David C's addiction?
I wanted to kill him. I threw on him shoes. I took out all his clothes from his closet and threw them on the floor. I was very, very, very human here. Because it's painful for me to say it, but how could you reason with anger? I was angry, pissed.
So okay, yes, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question.
Please.
We're taught to deal with our resentments and fears. My biggest issue is, how do I deal with my fear for the future? And I understand that the program says one day at a time, but that always stays a fear to me. When is the next time this slip or this fall will happen, and I will gain ground zero, and I'm right back at where I started.
Why are you doing that?
Not because I want to.
Do you like to put yourself in suffering? Why do you put yourself in doubt? Why are you doing that? You're enjoying to. Why are you doing that? What kind of friend you are to yourself?
It's not because you're a person is trying to be a friend to himself or not. It's because of 30 years of history, or however many years of history, and it's just a doubt in the subconscious mind. Not even in the conscious mind. It's in the subconscious mind.
Okay, so
even though that today I'm doing fine, and tomorrow I'm doing fine, and the next day I'm doing fine. I come back to the meetings, I go to the fellowship, I talk to people, everything's said and done. And obviously today is good, tomorrow is good, then the summer kicks in, then things happen, and of course you're bringing up tools and whatnot, and we're supposed to take it one day at a time. But in the subconscious mind, where I'm thinking, okay, which day is going to be the day?
I hear you. And you know what? The problem is here is that I want to be in control. You're not
right.
In control.
We aren't.
No, you're not.
Correct.
No, you're not. God is helping you with this, Habibi.
May I say a short thing on that?
You got it all.
No, Zelva, we got too many questions.
You got it all wrong. God is helping you here. Come to believe.
Both of you trusting God.
Becca, Melvin. Velva, we need to have our own session, you know, with David C. and us by ourselves. I know you have lots to say.
I would love that. I would love that.
See?
It's time already.
It's not up to you to stay sober. It's up to God who is helping you. And the whole connection here is between you and God. He is giving you the strength to withstand this.
Right. So I agree with you. The sober part is not up to me, but the wanting part is up to me. And I'm scared that I'm not going to want it at some point.
Turn your fear to Hashem. And what I hear from you is that, to God. And what I hear from you is that your daily routine is lacking of gratitude and seeing the cup half full rather than you're seeing more half empty. And this is ingrained in all of us to see the cup half empty. And this is your work. You need to see daily the positive. Because what you focus on grow. If you focus on the fear, it will grow and become a monster. Like, in the movie, what's the book that everybody's... Harry Potter? Remember the Harry Potter... huge creature was growing because the more the person in front of him was fearful, the stronger he got. That's what you're doing.
Okay, next question. Thank you, Yitzi. Here's a person with some serious guilt about his disease because his wife doesn't know it, and his wife sends him texts at times and tells him how much she thanks Hashem for having the number one husband. How do I deal with it?
Well, you are the number one husband. The man is working on himself. He is admitting that he is powerless over his addiction. He's connecting to God all the time. What do you think? She doesn't feel what a wonderful man you are?
And then, thank you. And then on the other side, let's see here. This is someone privately about, I cannot focus on my studies and career due to the masturbation pornography. What should I do according to you?
What is your daily routine? Do you exercise? Do you eat right? Sleep right? When do you go to sleep? Your boundaries are off whack. You're not taking care of yourself. Your escape is to go and have food. You haven't grown up. Grow up. If you really want to love yourself, start doing things that you show self-love. Self-love is not your masturbation, it's your escape. Self-love is I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm looking too much into shows on TV or doing Facebook. I'm going to go to sleep 30 minutes early today. And then the next week, an hour early today. And I'll get up early. I'll eat right. I'm not going to eat chazarai. All these... I'm going to eat junk because all of this is I'm growing into becoming the man that I want to be. If you're not going to take yourself in your own hand and become the man that you want, you'll still go and masturbate. I cannot help you with that. This is something that you need to do to yourself.
And this last question is, and will she ever trust me again?
Absolutely, 100%.
Why?
Because you're changed. You've changed. You're not the same man. You're not the man that used to masturbate and go act out in front of the computer. So you're a different entity. And this is the whole thing about humanity, is that we're constantly evolving and growing and becoming the people that we want, that God grace wants us to be.
And you know what, Miriam? That works both ways.
Thank you so
much. Because as we change, our wives can change. So for you men that you're, you know, what you call your wife is usually a four-legged animal that goes bark. You know, that woman can change too. That woman can change too. And that's the beauty of this program and of the, and our getting closer, more attached to God, because God doesn't make mistakes. As it says, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed, it's because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Why? Because God doesn't make mistakes. All right. Nobody makes mistakes. Okay. I think we'll have to go back and say our closing.
Just to say for closing, I know that this was a little bit of rush to go to manage all the questions, all the comments, and to give you guys a precise and undivided attention to each and every one of your questions. David C. and I have emails. We have phone numbers. The website is full of how to connect with us. If you need to talk to us privately, we're here for you. This is our shlichut. This is our
service.
Our service. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be of service. Without you, we wouldn't be who we are. And I thank you so much for the opportunity. Now let me go back to my kitchen. Gotta finish my cooking for the Sabbath. Bye.
All right. To answer other people's question about the recording, yes, this has been recorded. You can get a copy of this recording. Send an email to me, davidc@pornanonymous.org, or help@pornanonymous.org, and we'll make sure you get that. All right. I'm going to stop the recording. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I have a follow-up question. Is it appropriate to ask you right now, or do you want to finish off?
Yes, we're all over time, so I'll take one. And we want to end, actually, let's say the ending prayer here. Let me just make a few remarks, and then we can go on parking lot time, okay? Which, hold on. I don't know if Zach, are you still here with us? There's a new one. Zach, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, well, we're going to go into the parking lot, but only if you'll promise not to have any parking lot lust.
I can't make that promise. I'm powerless over it. I'm sorry.
Okay, anything you heard here at this meeting, at the speaker meeting, is strictly the opinion of the individual participant or speaker. The principles of PR are found in our 12 steps and 12 traditions. This is an anonymous program. Please keep the name and address of anyone you learn about or hear about here at PA to yourself. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read another thing popped up. And what we say here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
Here, here. All right.
Here.
Remember, we never identify ourselves publicly with PA in press, radio, or TV, or Twitter, or whatever. None of us are speaking for PA, by the way. Okay. After a moment of silent meditation, I'd like to ask, let's see, who's willing, let's say here, to help us with surrender prayer? I think we'll do it all together. It's silly. We're going to say it in plural. And at the end of it, we say this phrase right here, keep coming back. So you ready, everybody? This has been a fabulous meeting for me, and I know for Miriam, and I hope for the rest of you. Please, next Tuesday, we'll continue. And we're always looking for ideas. If you have some guest speaker ideas, please let us know. All right, here we go on the group sanity prayer in the plural. God.
God.
God. Grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. The courage to change the things we can. And the wisdom to know the difference. I will.
I will.
Keep coming back. It works if you work it. So you work it. You work it. You work it.
Keep coming back.
Good night, guys. Thank you very, very much. And women that have been on the line, we appreciate that. Yitzi, you had a follow-up question, please?
Yeah, we were talking before about fear, and Miriam was mentioning how a person's sobriety is not up to him, it's in the hands of God. Am I correct on that quote?
Well, the quote, of course, implies it could be easily misunderstood. What Miriam...
That's why I'm asking.
Right. Well, what Miriam is commenting about is that a disease that we're powerless over, God is going to put us in situations to test us. If you look at your life, there's all these tests, all right? What we I'm going to make this really, really short. We act out because we're in pain, all right? We can't control acting out. That's a behavior. We can't control that. We act out because we're in pain. Well, that's a feeling. Well, we can't control that either. Gosh, it sounds like is there any chance for us? And the pain is because we're in resentment and fear and jealousy and disappointment and things didn't go my way. Well, we can't control all of that. We say it in the Serenity Prayer, all right? So what can we control? The only thing left is our thinking and turning it over to God. Letting go and letting God is the mantra of our program. We do have a lot of power to let go and to let God. Letting go means letting go of what? Letting go of our character defects. If you don't know what your character defects are, my friend, you got to get there quickly. Go into the four step. Do a four step with your sponsor and a fifth step to learn about your character defects. It is indeed up to every single one of us, and we have a gazillion tons of control and power. It's the only place we have power over our character defects of selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, need to control, scared of loss, and inconsiderate. When I make that change, when I wear a different lens, and when I look at this world that's completely out of my control, I can stay in recovery, I can stay sober there. God loves to send me tests. Why? Because how in the world am I going to get any stronger in this lifetime? How am I going to get any stronger in this lifetime? How do you get stronger? You exercise, all right? If you don't exercise, you get flabby and you get fat and you, die young, perhaps. But don't you see, it's about exercise. We're getting to exercise our spiritual muscle and turn around our character defects into character attributes. And if you noticed, when we do that turnaround from selfishness to selflessness and generosity, humility, fearlessness, and honesty, you're talking about the 12 attributes of God, the Yud Gimel Midos. Hashem, Hashem, El Rachamun Chanun Rachamun, never mind. You know it better than I do. There we have a lot of control. What we're really trying to do is reveal the higher power into this world. And we're a beacon of light to all of the addicts out there. For every one of you that's on this call, there's 10,000 more just like you and me that are not on this in these meeting rooms, that are not working the program. We need to be an example of potential. We can do that with our families, with our wives, our families, and the community around us. You're awesome, Yitzi, Michael, everybody that's on this call. You're awesome guys. You're here. Do the exercises, work the program, get into the four-step inventory as quickly as possible. Bill Wilson did the entire program in 6 weeks. Okay, and any other questions? Yeah, any other questions? Comments, remarks? It's your parking lot, not mine.
So the follow-up
by the way,
question would be...
Wait, I'm sorry. Someone asked me to send a recording to my email address. I'm just so sorry, I can't take the chat information. I don't have access to that. So if you want me to do this, please let me know by email to davidc@portanonymous.org. I apologize, I can't take it off the chat.
David.
Yes.
Was this recorded?
Yes, yes, it was.
Please let me know how I can. I need to play it again and again. I please let me know. Just send me a text or whatever. I would like to hear it again and again. Yeah, it made a meaningful difference.
Right. Belville, thank you very much for that remark. Please send me an email, okay? David C. at pornanonymous.org. Or my David Chaim email, either one of them. I don't care.
Can I send you a text?
No, it needs to be an email because I forward thing. Office. All right.
David C. at email.com?
David C. at pornanonymous.org or davidchaim@gmail.com. Either one.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
I thought David Chaim?
Yes, Mike.
David Chaim, it's Mike.
Yes, please.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you and your wife for this great meeting. I'm really, really excited to what I heard, and I really am. I can even say I'm kind of jealous, maybe that things worked out between you and your wife, which gives me hope for the future. Actually, just by the way, and it was really amazing. Thank you. Thank you, you too.
You know what, Mike, you said one very, very important word, and that's hope. You know, because one of the biggest barriers to our working this program is because we've lost hope. We've lost hope in ourselves. We see that we are powerless and that we try to work this program and we stop because we don't see our failure again and again. You know why we stop? It's not because of our failure. We stop because we've lost hope. Don't lose hope.
Yeah.
To your dying breath, don't lose hope. You know, every morning, Mike, and I'm going to go into my David Chaim mode here. Every morning we say, what is the first thing that comes off our lips, Mike? And this is important.
What?
Guys, come on. Don't leave yet. Listen to this, please. I learned this recently, or at least I reapplied it. Mike, what's the first thing off your lips every morning? Off your lips every morning when you wake up?
Modani.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, good. Say next time you say Modani, use your Hebrew name. Modani David Ariel David Chaim ben Noach ben Chaya Yitta. Shechazarta Binish Badi Himla Rabba Modakha. What are the last few words today? What does that mean?
To say it in English, it's hard for me. Chem Rabbe means with a lot of how do you say that?
Mercy,
with a lot of mercy. And yesterday we discussed Emunotecha.
Okay, hold on just a second, guys, because you're unfortunately missing the translation. Because, you know, most religions, in our religions, we think our religion is one in which we have to have faith in God, emuna in God, and we do. And we make that in our program, it's all about letting go and letting God, turning it over to God. Well, and it seems like it's a one-way street with God. But it says here, I give thanks to you, living and everlasting King. You have restored my life with mercy. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. God has faith in us. God has emuna in us. God has emuna in us. Don't lose hope. God doesn't give up on you. You're alive. If you wake up tomorrow morning, God hadn't lost faith in you or hope in you. Isn't that inspiring?
Yes, very much.
Yes.
Very, very much.
Yeah, remember that when you wake up tomorrow
morning. Yeah, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Skoyev.
Any other comments, remarks, greetings?
Velvel, you're too quiet.
I'm definitely going to have to get into the fourth step.
What about, wait, so someone said about what do I have to do to get into the fourth step? Was that the question? I think I heard that question. I'm going to answer it. To get in the fourth step, you have to go to meetings and you have to get a sponsor. Now, that's what you have to do, what we're saying you have to do. There is a level in that is that you can go to online meetings. There's a lot of great online groups. And you don't even have to get it through SA. You can get an AA sponsor and work the 12 steps with an AA sponsor, an alcoholic, because it's all the same approach. It's all the same four-step inventory in SA as in AA. All right? You can,
and
you
I'm,
can
work will, I'm willing to work with you if you want also. If you want my number, I'll give it to you. It's novel.
And similarly, you know, I heard a recording actually in the Daily Reprieve. I suggest everybody get the Daily Reprieve as a podcast. And Harvey said to me, if you're on an island, you still have the big book. You still have the big book. Work it out of here. You got the instructions. You know how to work it. It gives instructions here. Work it. Work it. Work it. Worth it. Any other questions before I run?
When is Miriam coming back on?
Yeah, thank you very much. How do you think that makes me feel? Golly.
I vote for her to come on before the Pesach break. Please.
Okay. All right. Do you mean the Passover? Easter break?
Oh, sorry. The Passover break, yes. Before the Passover break.
And Easter break. That's just
sorry
no
about
fun.
That.
This is ecumenical. All right. Yes. Anybody else?
Have a great Sabbath.
And a happy Sabbath. Have a peaceful Sabbath.
If I can make one person laugh today, I would have accomplished something. And even if it's myself, thank you. Thank you for laughing. It just makes me go right there.
It's good. Hallelujah. The other
way. Further. I'm sorry.
You know, I like you guys because Harvey does the same thing. Listen, in GYE, we always have an assignment. Velvel's always crazy about the assignment. Velvel, what's your Hebrew name?
I have two Yiddish names, just my luck. But Velvel Sana. Vav, Vav, Ayin, Lamed, Vav, Vav, Lamed. And Sana is Sof, Nun, Aleph. Velvel Sana.
Ben
Blimigittel.
Okay, Mode Ani Velvel Sani Ben Blumi Gitto Lifa Nefa.
Sana, not Sani. Yeah.
Vinish Bati, Bechemla Rabba Menutecha. That's your assignment. Everybody on this call, say your Mode Ani and include your Hebrew name in it and think about how much Amuna God has in you. That's what you're doing.
I think that's the greatest assignment you ever gave in the history of the call.
Thank you. All right. All right, you guys.
You are the best. You are the best.
Thank you.
Thanks. You are the best. You are the best.
And you married the best, too.
I give all the credit to you guys. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for y'all. All y'all. So I'll say shalom, y'all.